It's Berlin briefing time. Today on how Germany's Chancellor-in-Waiting Friedrich Merz plans to reshape Germany's role in Europe. His road to the Chancellery is proving to be bumpy, and we will analyze that in a lot more detail next time around. But here and now, we'll focus on what a Merz-led Germany will mean for Europe. And sure, that means defense, but not just that. We're about to take a look at Merz's pledge to boost the economy and deliver a turnaround on migration and how that likely translates for European partners. Here with me to do just that is the chief correspondent of Reuters, Andreas Rinke. Safe to say, he's one of the best informed people in German politics. And in Brussels, we have Guntram Wolf, senior fellow at Bruegel think tank. He's an economics professor who's advised the EU Commission, the International Monetary Fund, and the G20, to name only a few. And Guntram, I do want to go straight to you, because maybe you can just tell us what those expectations towards Friedrich Merz are in Brussels at the moment.
Well, the expectations are very, very high at the moment. There's a lot of hope that Germany will take a different path to the path of the last years, and I would say almost decades. And I mean, concretely, there is, of course, the question of the relations between key member states that really went quite sour during the Scholz chancellery. Germany, France, Germany, Poland, these relations really suffered. But also Germany was known in Brussels for being the hesitant bit, the one that didn't get its act together. So this is about to change. And I think the big discussion now is really, what are the key issues? And the key issues, as you said, are basically the defense bit, then the competitiveness growth bit, and certainly the migration bit. And I think on defense and on growth, competitiveness, and the reflating of the German economy, there is a lot of sort of positive vibe. And the migration topic, I think people prefer not to look at it at the moment in Brussels.
And we'll go down that list bit by bit. But Andreas, I want to ask you, together with me, these great expectations towards Friedrich Merz, particularly in improving relations and creating the much needed unity in the EU that everybody's talking about, that's so much needed in the face of Donald Trump and his administration. Can Merz really walk on water? Because it sometimes sounds like it in Brussels.
Easy answer. No, he can't walk on water. Maybe I elaborate a bit. I think that the expectations are maybe a bit too high. It reminds me a bit of former chancellors when they start. It has always been the expectation that from now on, the German-French relationship will be much better. It's true that the conditions for the start of Friedrich Merz are actually a bit better than they were before. He has already created a relationship to Macron. He has at least the chance, I mean, we don't have the government yet, to form a middle-of-the-road government between the two middle parties, Social Democrats and Christian Democrats. So if that works out, I think he has a stable majority at home. And if the financial package, which the two or actually three partners have designed, is coming through, he has the financial means as well to deliver, at least in Germany. But he can also have a good relationship with a commission president, who is also conservative, Ursula von der Leyen, with the president of the European Parliament. And just a reminder that nearly 12 of the 27 heads of state and prime ministers are coming from his conservative party family, EPP. So that could help really to get a new push for Europe with Friedrich Merz.
And Guntram, in fact, he was on that EPP ticket when he attended. Well, he didn't, strictly speaking, attend, but he was present during the last EU summit that was on Ukraine. He did meet with Ursula von der Leyen, who's also, of course, from Germany, part of his own political party. But he was met by pretty much everybody. So he did the walk, walked the walk, talked the talk of the future leader. At the same time, what impact do you expect just by him showing up and announcing that he will end something like what's known as the German vote, the hesitation in Europe?
Well, listen, I think the big change is really that Friedrich Merz set a number of big strategic reorientations that the previous government under Olaf Scholz really was hesitant to do. And I think the key issue at this stage is the security situation, is the security situation in a situation where the United States is not on the side of the European Union anymore, and certainly not on the side of Ukraine anymore. And while the old chancellor, the outgoing chancellor, has been hesitant, and, you know, whenever it came to weapon deliveries, I mean, he has a whole history of being ambivalent in his position on Ukraine. Friedrich Merz really changed the tone, and changed the tone from the beginning. And really, it has to start at the top. The tone has to change at the top. And then, of course, there is the big question, will he get through the financial package? But if he does, and if we see this massive borrowing in Germany, it will massively boost defense capabilities, and it will really boost the German economy. I mean, it's a demand push that I think most macroeconomists in Europe have been calling for basically a decade. Germany needs to reflate, needs to have more growth, demand-led growth, also for the other partners of the European Union to be pulled along. So I think there are really two major positive things here, a change in strategic direction plus the emphasis on defense and competitiveness. And I think everybody wishes that he succeeds with those two things.
And we're recording here on a Thursday morning where it's still unclear whether he will get that spending package through. That entails also a change to the German constitution to create an exemption in the debt break. But nevertheless, let's just talk about those strategic promises he's made, because, Andreas, he's gone a lot further than any chancellor has gone before. There was a remarkable silence for many years, particularly every time Emmanuel Macron mentioned that there would be a possibility to use the nuclear capabilities of France in a more strategical manner to become more independent. Now Friedrich Merz has gone even further. He said we also need to speak to Britain about their capabilities. How much of that is actually rhetoric, and how much of that will actually translate into action, you believe, once he is in office?
It's rhetoric at the moment. And listen to Guntram, I think that Europe is spoiled to be disappointed by what Friedrich Merz can actually deliver, because I read also the chancellorship of Olaf Scholz slightly different, because he also made some points. He, for example, delivered two speeches which were the answer to this Macron speech at the Sorbonne, which Merkel didn't answer to with some ideas. So there were ideas on the table, but what has changed is not so much only the personality of Friedrich Merz and a new chancellor coming in, but the situation as such. The dangers coming from Russia and from the United States are so big now that the next chancellor, regardless of whom he is, will have to act in a different way. And I think that's what we see at the moment with this financial package. That's also the openness to talk about the nuclear capabilities of France that has been on the table, as you mentioned, for a long time. But even Friedrich Merz said that it can only be an addition to our protection by the United States, simply by the size of the French and the British nuclear capabilities. So I think we should be a bit careful. It's good that he's open to talk about that. It's good that the Europeans finally, after being rejected by transatlantic community also in Germany for a long time, to develop their own capabilities, what was always a French line in politics. It's good to talk about it, but I wouldn't think that the expectations should be too high what that can actually be achieved, also because the size of the French and the British nuclear capabilities is very limited at the moment.
And on that note, I want to just take a listen to what Friedrich Merz said literally after his Christian Democrats won these elections in the talk show that followed on that very important relationship, transatlantic relationship. Let's take a listen.
For me, the absolute priority will be to strengthen Europe as quickly as possible, so that step by step we can achieve independence from the US. I never thought I would have to say something like this on a television program, but after Donald Trump's statements last week, it is clear that the Americans, at least this part of the Americans, this administration, are largely indifferent to the fate of Europe. I'm very curious to see how we are heading toward the NATO summit at the end of June, whether we will still be talking about NATO in its current form, or whether we will have to establish an independent European defense capability much more quickly. That is my absolute priority.
So, Guntram, what will that mean in terms of what is expected towards Friedrich Merz? Is this going to be his leadership and or the money, German money, going into European projects?
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European news podcast, Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge with our weekly combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Find Inside Europe wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, as the saying goes, sometimes there are decades in history where nothing happens, and then there are weeks in which decades happen. And I personally think that we are at a period where the external circumstances change so dramatically that the decisions that the chancellor, and there I agree with Andreas, no matter who is the chancellor, will have to take, these decisions will be historic and they will have historic dimensions. And the reason is that for essentially 80 years, we've been relying on the Americans to take care of this continent, right? I mean, the Americans were here, they were always supporting us whenever there were critical moments. And that goes back, I mean, even to non-military issues. So I remember the Eurozone financial crisis. I mean, the number of times that a US Treasury Secretary came to Brussels to tell EU finance ministers, don't blow up the euro, really keep Greece in the euro. I mean, that was really big. I mean, America had a big leadership in Europe over the last many, many decades. And that leadership and that trust to the United States, I think, has been very fundamentally shattered. I don't think it's repairable. It's going to be very, very difficult to repair. Once trust is gone, it's gone. And that means Europe has to completely rethink. And without the United States there, all the relations between European countries change very dramatically. All of a sudden, the relation with France will be seen very differently than before, and the relation with Poland and the relation with the UK. And I'm fairly optimistic in the sense that I see that both Macron, Merz, but also Keir Starmer and Donald Tusk, I think they think in the same direction on the sort of these key issues. And so in that sense, I think it could really be quite a historic period that is starting now. And I think it goes well beyond sort of the personality of Friedrich Merz or one individual person.
Andreas, I want to drill down on that very idea of economic strength that Friedrich Merz keeps stressing has to underpin his leadership in the EU and the EU as a whole. Interestingly, Guntram, you mentioned Greece. Friedrich Merz is a scholar of Wolfgang Schäuble, who was very much ready to throw Greece out of the euro at that moment in time. So he stands for fiscal prudence. That's also what he promised during the election campaign. And now he also expects Germans to follow his turnaround on that. As he says, it's absolutely necessary. Circumstances have changed to now take on huge debt, hundreds of billions of euros of debt to go this path forward. So where do you see Friedrich Merz able to deliver on all of that?
Different question, because at first we don't know if the financial package is actually coming through. It could be a huge disappointment, not only in Germany, but in Europe and maybe worldwide, if the new forming government doesn't succeed with that. But if they do, I think he can deliver something. It will boost growth in Germany, finally. Just the amount of money which is going to be spent, that's going to change the psychology in Germany, I think, together with reforms which have to be done as well in Europe and in Germany about regulation, for example. So I think he then could push in this direction, and he's in line with the Social Democrats on that. That's very important. I mean, the German vote was mentioned before. I think that there's a huge chance that Germany will behave differently. Scholz was blocked by his coalition partners for 3.5 years because they always had different opinions. That could change. I see a problem in his ambition of German leadership, because at the moment everybody seems to be happy, at least openly, that there could be a German push. But Europe with 27 members is complicated. And I'm not so sure that Macron, for example, is really happy about a German leadership. And we have seen quarrels already piling up behind the curtains. You mentioned fiscal discipline. Of course, also Merz as the German Chancellor wouldn't support some ideas which Macron has about common defense spending, for example. Even the next Chancellor will refuse defense bonds on a European level because of our constitution. So we should have that in mind as well. Shouldn't be over optimistic that now all the problems will be solved, but there will be a boost, and I think that could help Europe in competition with the US and China as well, which we shouldn't forget.
Interestingly enough, in Poland, once again, Radoslaw Sikorski is the foreign minister who famously said that he was more afraid of a lack of German leadership than too much German leadership. How much do you believe that will apply to Poland right now?
And that's a very good example. With Sikorski, I think it's absolutely true and still the case. But just a small reminder, we had a peace government who was very anti-German, regardless of what is done in Berlin. It was simply their way of getting votes, being anti-German. And in 2027, we have elections in France. And I think that all the leading politicians in Berlin have that in mind as well. So we can be optimistic at the moment, but we shouldn't be over-optimistic about Europe as well, because we have seen that the situation in domestic policy in some of our lead partners could change very quickly.
Yeah, Guntram, clearly the clock is ticking, not just in France, but also in Poland. There are presidential elections in May. Their President Duda infamously now already had to wait for more than an hour to meet US President Donald Trump. So how much is there a sense of getting Merz going, and how much of a window of opportunity does he actually have in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, I agree the window of opportunity is a short one. There is the French situation, and there is certainly also the Polish question. And I mean, I also agree that Europe cannot really be led by a German chancellor, right? I mean, I think if Friedrich Merz's strategy is that he himself will lead Europe, I think he will fail. That cannot work. That will not work. That has historically never worked. And I totally agree that a French president will never accept to be sort of just a second following the lead of a German chancellor. For that, Germany is too small. Germany is too big to not to lead. I mean, so there has to be some leadership. But at the end of the day, Germany has to do this in a cooperative way. And that's why I mentioned he has to pull along and work together with the key heads of state and government and with the European institutions. And so the Commission president is actually a very important, powerful person at the moment, together with the French president and the Polish prime minister. But I think in the current situation, also the British prime minister. And I think the big sort of new thing that is happening at the moment is really a rapprochement, so a closing with the relation with the United Kingdom, which won't be easy, but which I think will also be much more than what we thought would happen in the next couple of years, only a few months ago. So yes, I do think this leadership question is the key issue, is a very difficult issue. It's an issue that can only be resolved in a cooperative manner and not through one person in the European Union.
Andreas, I just saw you nod.
Yeah. Not completely, but I want to add one point about Friedrich Merz. My impression after following all his speeches he has given so far is that he's thinking very much in bilateral, multilateral relations, not so much in the German tradition of still enforcing the power of the EU Commission, for example. So I expect some fights with the EU Commission, which he sees mainly at the moment, at least, to reverse some of its actions it has taken in the last years. That's the main work the Commission has to do at the moment. So there will be fights between a German chancellor and the Commission president. And I think he's trying to concentrate on his personal relationship with Macron, Tusk, but also Starmer. I mean, maybe that would be my hope, at least my personal hope, that Britain is coming, maybe not back into the EU, but very close, because the Europeans should have understood that they have to stick together now.
Okay, but then we might as well think big here. Do you think he is the kind of visionary, Angela Merkel was always criticized for her lack of vision, who would go ahead and do something like an EU group of the willing, which is already forming in terms of defense, but to really try and cut the central European Union away from the rest and away from the Viktor Orbans of this world who try and block the EU at every point of the way?
Well, Germans are not known to be a visionary.
No,
at least after 45, hope.
Yes.
Gladly. But I think, yes, this coalition of the willing is already forming. And you mentioned Orbán. Orbán is a problem for more or less everybody. 26, so in the next years, I would say we have to find ways around that. I mean, I remember that Scholz tried to push this question of unanimity to be abolished in the EU. I think the Merz will follow that line as well. And he will support that in several fields there will be a coalition of the willing. And I remind as well, because Scholz is always a bit underrated, I think he had introduced yearly meetings of the Germans with the Baltics, yearly meetings of the Germans with the Scandinavians. So there are already groups forming, sometimes on a geographical basis, sometimes on an issue basis, like support for Ukraine, for example, where the visions of Germany or German governments and the French government are slightly different, I would say.
I just want us to listen to what he said on migration, because we've almost forgotten about this because the elections here in Germany already feel like years away because we are knee deep into this whole coalition talks and the spending package. But what Germans are and were expecting is a turnaround on migration. And that would see him do exactly this. Let's take a listen.
In coordination with our European neighbours, we will also carry out rejections at our common borders, including for those seeking asylum. We want to take all constitutional measures to reduce irregular migration overall.
So, Guntram, there's already discussion here in Germany whether that is against EU legislation. But listening to that, when European partners hear that, does that sound like he's going to be part of the solution or part of the problem on finding a common stance on migration?
Well, I think he will meet a mix of reactions to this. I think many governments certainly also want to reduce immigration, in particular irregular immigration, into the European Union. And the European institutions have really tightened immigration rules quite substantially in the last years. And the immigration numbers from the rest of the world to the European Union have come down. Now, having said that, introducing border controls relative to neighboring countries on a permanent basis within the European Union to repel immigrants and not accept them is going to create a lot of trouble with the neighboring countries. I mean, that's for sure. And we've already seen, I think, even the Austrians reacting very strongly to these kind of announcements. So I do think that he will have to think very carefully how far he will go in this, how permanent these measures will be, and how strict he wants to be. I think it's not going to be easy at all, this topic. And the key at the end of the day will have to be to manage the immigration flow into the European Union as a whole. And perhaps last point, I mean, I think Germany, of course, will also have to think about the welfare benefits that are given to immigrants. I think that's going to be another very controversial topic. But in a sense, if there is significant differences in welfare benefits across European countries, I mean, that, of course, creates attraction of migrants to those places where welfare benefits may be higher. So I think that's another topic which I think he will try to address, but he might not get through domestically.
Yeah, I mean, Friedrich Merz already said that the Bürgergeld, which makes up a lot of social spending here in Germany, will get a complete overhaul. That was his pledge. Clearly also pivoting to the markets there, who are keeping a close eye on that. But Andreas, what's your assessment? Will that fall flat, this whole pledge, if we're going to be really tough at our own national border?
I think that's the biggest challenge, actually, which I see at the moment. I agree completely with Guntram. And I listened to a speech of SPD party leader Lars Klingbeil yesterday afternoon, where he said very clearly that Germany can't do it alone. We shouldn't threaten to destroy the Schengen area, which was a harsh reminder to the Christian Democrats not to go too far. And I think that could be one of the biggest problems within this forming coalition as well. So we all saw what what Friedrich Merz said, I think the key words are in coordination with the neighbors. And I'm pretty sure that he understands very quickly, and his tone after the election has already changed in comparison to before the election. He understands that Germany can't do it alone on migration and refusing migrants. And I think it will work out, but it will be a domestic problem, especially with the Christian Democrats, because actually some voters and even some top politicians expected a bit more. But he also introduced in his speeches now the notion of the value of positive migration. I mean, Germany especially needs workers in large numbers in the next years. So we need these people coming to Germany. It's just a question if we should take more refugees or more skilled workers. I think that's the main line of debate.
And to be fair, throughout the election campaign, this is something he kept stressing, that he would create a digital platform, a fast track for much needed skilled workers. It's just that the whole rhetoric on migration was reported much more widely than his pledge to make it easier to attract skilled workers. Guntram, how do you think this will pan out in the European context? Are you seeing any kind of signs that Friedrich Merz is already reaching out on that issue of migration to create, even if it's a new consensus there?
To be honest, I haven't seen a lot in the last couple of weeks on this topic. It's sort of gone silent. I think probably the main reason is that at the moment the focus is so much on how to deal with the fractured transatlantic relationship. I mean, that's been such a big shock, and it really emerged so strongly in the last couple of weeks that I think nothing else really could be in the focus of policymakers. I mean, people are really fully absorbed by this. And so I would expect that this topic comes back, but it will come back in a, let's say, more prepared way, less driven with electoral campaign rhetoric. And, well, I mean, let's first see the government coming into place. Let's see who's going to be the interior minister in Germany. I mean, all of these things will matter for this. And only then, I think, there will be an earnest debate on this.
If I may just add one thing, Friedrich Merz has met EPP leaders. You mentioned that several times, also in Berlin. And as far as I know, some EPP leaders of our neighboring countries already have told him that he should not silence on this issue, but calm down his tone. And I think that already works.
And here the interesting question is how that will go down with the German public, who were expecting clear signals. And he had announced that within 24 hours, he would reject people at the border. So that will be a tricky one for him. But at the moment, the tricky aspect is to get into government and get elected first. So we're still on the road to doing that. So I just want to ask you each a question. What do you believe you will be writing as a headline after this first 100 days of Friedrich Merz in Europe?
Hopefully I write that the German economy is growing again. That's the most important one at the moment.
Guntram?
Well, I mean, yes, more growth in Germany and more cohesion on security in Europe.
So that was Berlin briefing on what a future Chancellor Friedrich Merz will potentially mean for Europe, what he can deliver and what he's promised. So thanks to Andreas Rinke and Guntram Wolf. A full analysis on European defense was at the center of our previous episode. So catch up with that wherever you get your podcasts. And please do send us your comments. Do you believe that Friedrich Merz can deliver in Europe? And in between, of course, there's our Berlin briefing newsletter with the latest instant analysis on German politics as Europe's largest economy finds itself on a very bumpy road towards forming a coalition.